When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100 megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome sales event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome sales event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Up top, Bryson with a shot. That one, that's in the net. It's a 1-0 Sabres lead. Good save here at the near post. Now it's up front. That one's in the net. Yuri Kulik with a great shot. Gives Buffalo a 2-0 lead. The shot of a knockout. There's a knockout blow as Jason Zucker with a blast on the power play. Gains the Islander line. Kept in by Kulik. High slot. Passes off. Far post. Oh, tipped in. Then it scores. Sticking with the play. Benson going to the net. Cousins makes a nice turn for Quinn. Scores! Oh, what a shot that was. Merry Christmas, Jack Quinn. Thompson comes up with it. He's going to have a go at the empty net. And he puts it right in the middle for the sixth of the game. Dangerous play at the line. Sabres with a takeaway. Yuri Kulik with a shot. Scores! How about that from Yuri Kulik? He lets that one rip. 7-1. Sabres win it on Long Island. Going into the Christmas break. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Welcome in. You know what's in the bag, Marty Baron?
No, what's in the bag?
A win. Thank you.
Thank God. Thank you. I'm glad that you were waiting until the Christmas episode of Sabres Live to deliver a win, Duffer. I'm blaming you for that one.
Our producer is wearing the best Christmas sweater of all time. The yes. Vibes are immaculate. We're together again. It feels like it's been forever. I don't even want to go backwards and recap everything that has happened since we last spoke. But I do want to say, for old time's sake, I am wearing the greatest, most used gift of our annual, often silly Christmas exchanges.
So you mean the scarf that I gave you, you mean the picture, the autographed picture you don't use as much? You don't like show around?
So we live in a world where we don't always go to the office as much as we used to. It is my desk at the office. So
yours is in my bag, but that's okay.
I do see it regularly. This is the scarf that is more than game worn. Now, it's a little tattered, a little ratty, but that's okay.
It's perfect.
It's still super comfortable. Ron was just sending us a message on social that he misses our gift exchanges on the air. I'm just giving the gift of joy this year. That may seem like a cheap cop-out, but I'm sending it to you, to our crew, and to everyone now that we can focus forward and hopefully take last night, extend it after the break, and then get into a better place.
I'm with you. I'm with you. And because the Sabres tweeted something about Festivus last night, and it was on Instagram, and in the spirit of Seinfeld, your gift and joy, George gifted everybody a donation to their name was made to the what was it, Jeff? You would know, our producer Jeff would know, but like the World Fund or something. The Human Fund or whatever. Yeah. So that's the gift of joy is way better, Duffer. So I appreciate that.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you this. I was listening to you and Pat yesterday, and you guys did a fantastic job. I was laughing when Pat said he was this PTO was extended for a long period of time, which my son suggested the fee would be that I get to pick one of the Lego sets that Pat has in his house, like, because he has a ton. I don't know that he'd part ways with any of them.
Nope.
So that's that. And, you know, so that was last night. But quickly, before we move on to last night and the season's greetings and all of that, I want to shout out to the Buffalo Police and the Sabres alumni that showed up in big, big numbers again this morning for a annual toy and food drive through the city of Buffalo. Obviously, Rob Ray was there, Daryl Shannon, Jim Lawrence, Zenon Konopka, Tim Kennedy. I'm not going to name all of them because Don Luce, I couldn't see everybody. It was packed with people, the volunteers, the families that come up to support. It was amazing. So we went around and did our thing, and it was another Christmas Eve morning success for the Buffalo Police and the Sabres alumni.
Awesome. Amazing to hear. And thank you, as always, for being a part of it as part of the alumni and the continued great efforts in the community by all involved at this important time.
Yes.
To be mindful of everyone in need. And when you say it that way, it's not the material things. It never is. It's just feeling a human connection to people who care. And honestly, this is, let me preface this by saying this is the most, there's never a script if you didn't know this already,
yeah.
But this is the most unscripted version of Sabres Live. And I'm okay with it because since you went down this path and I was going to later, and making connections with people, like, I think people, I know people, I know this to be true.
Yep.
I think people genuinely relate to us because we're pretty open and honest, but no matter what is actually being said, they can see how much it matters to us, right? So I'm not going to lie to you, Marty.
Not going to lie, be honest.
My head has been down a little bit lately. There are a lot of personal reasons for that. I went to the Bills game on Sunday.
Oh, good for you.
I haven't been in a long time.
Yeah.
And was there real early, walked through an awful lot of the tailgating experiences. The sun was glorious. Like, yeah. It was a perfect 4-hour window of blessed sunshine. It didn't matter. The temperature was irrelevant because it was so sunny and perfect, right? I ended up in the game day hospitality Buffalo tailgate area. And if you're on social, you're probably well aware of this group and many of the individuals who are involved. I am so thankful that I ended up there. I met so many incredible people. So many people who were just like, we're with you. They're going to get through it and go Bills, right? Like, this is, and it was just this incredible, scene of positivity. And I wanted to say that I met this young guy, Chris, and this ties in with, you know, how people connect to some of the, especially the theme nights that we do.
Yep.
Chris's dad, Don, has been going through quite a battle. But their thing is, Don watches every game, and Chris makes sure to be there with him to watch every game. And Chris got really emotional talking about this, and it's still very much resonating with me. So last night was a great win for Don, great win for Chris, and hopefully a great win for a lot of families that were getting together to see the last game before the Christmas break.
And you mentioned about... being in a giving mood. I felt like the Islanders were in a giving mood yesterday, which was fantastic. Yeah. So that's good.
Yes.
Not taking it away from everything that the Sabres did.
Right.
But you know what? Like, that was a good way to start the game, right? A bit of a giving mood. The Sabres get, you know, they're up 2-0. They're up 4-0, 5-0. It's like, okay, whew, we can breathe a little bit. We can have fun. Like, I'm in the shoes of Razor with Dan on the broadcast, and I'm like, oh, we can have fun now. We can really enjoy this. Like, we can talk about Butch Goring and that ugly helmet, but the one that he wore from the time he was a kid and going on, and how his, you know, acquisition from the LA Kings to the Islanders led to four Stanley Cups. But we can talk about all this stuff and have a lighthearted conversation while explaining the game and what's going on. So that was a ton of fun. And I was at the morning skate and I was watching the guys skating. And I kid you not, every single guy I picked in the morning skate that I was like, ooh, look at the jump on this guy today. Look at the jump that had an impact in the game at night. Like when I saw Jack Quinn on the power play in the morning skate and he put one underneath the bar on Ukko Pekka Luukkonen right over the shoulder, and it was like, oh. And all the guys are pointing at the goal, like, because it went in and out so fast that you didn't know. But everybody on the ice is like, goal. And it was, they were so happy for Jack to have made that shot in the morning skate. And then Jack hits the crossbar early in the first period, and then he gets the goal. Mm-hmm. You're like, goal. Like, I'm upstairs on the press box and I'm pointing at the net like, yes, Jack Quinn, like, that's a goal. Right? When you're cool, like, he took
a
shot.
Where is that footage?
No, we didn't have a camera on us up there, but I was like, yes, pointing. I'm like, that's awesome. When Jiří, in the morning skate, there was nobody in the net. He just stepped on the ice, picked up a puck, and he was literally right in front of me. And he shot one into the empty net, and it went top corner, and it was so in and out so quick. And I was like, whoa, whoa, that was a shot. Like, that's what I want to see from Jiří. I want to see Jiří shoot. Every time he's got an opportunity, go and shoot from whatever location you're at. He gets a loose puck in the slot. He doesn't wait for anything. Boom, it's in the back of the net. In and out so quick that even us on the press box are like, oh, did that went in? Because we didn't hear the crossbar, but it went in and out so quick. And then he gets the seventh goal. I'm like, yeah, I saw it in the morning.
I don't think I've ever loved a seventh goal more than I loved his effort on that. Like, it's, absolutely. You know, it's so, someone said, oh, my God, what are you even talking about? And I get it. But with everything that's happened, I'm sorry. I'm going to take as many positives for individuals.
Yes.
And hope that then that continues to spread through the masses and they collectively get something going here.
Yeah, no, and that's why the Islanders were not quitting. Like, it's 5-1. They pulled their goalies with 12 minutes left. The coach is in. They were still trying to win this game, right? Like, is it a desperation move? Absolutely. But if I'm the Sabres, I'm like, we're going to continue to play. And Jiří made the play through the defenseman, steal the puck, goes up the ice, gets the goal. I'm like, that is exactly what I've been seeing of Jiří Kulik the last few games. Like, I feel like there's a maturity to his game that's coming through, but I want him to score. I want him to shoot. That's his thing. That's his tool. Use your shot. But he's done a lot, you know, outside of that shot. And I've liked that. Like to see Zach Benson. I mean, the way that he scored, like the rebound, the quick hands in front of the net. There was a ton of good in this game. Rasmus Dahlin, I mean, should have started with him because he was one in the morning skate.
It's funny, like, you certainly never want to diminish a 4-point game, and his presence is obvious, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, I think there's a lot of shared success stories here. So I actually feel really good that we didn't just gravitate to a 4-point player or this or that. Like, it needed to be everything that you started experiencing at the morning skate from your experience within the game. You needed to see a level of, I would say, recognition and lightheartedness, in the sense of you're saying guys are pointing to the net when Quinn is shooting a puck and things like that. That shows engagement to me. One thing that Pat Coletta said when we were assessing Luukkonen's game, one of the first things he said was prepared this and that. And I was like, yes, he looked absolutely, for a goaltender who had been winless in 9 games, looked so spot on in all his markings and his stops, you know. And you know, you're laughing because Pat doesn't want to analyze goaltenders ever.
I'm laughing because in the morning skate, it was goal, 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 goals.
And I was going to tell you that.
Yeah, but I'm like looking at this and I'm like, it could either be great or it could be very bad, because I've been in those shoes where, like, you know what? A bad dress rehearsal, great show, right? That's the common thing. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, but again, like, I felt like, okay, take the good with the bad. Like, everybody has really got a good feeling about themselves, and Ukko Pekka Luukkonen can reset. Say, you know what? Guy scored in the morning skate, whatever. I'm going to reset for tonight. And he did. Mm-hmm. But you talk about Dahlin. Like, there was a play, maybe a second shift, where he joined the rush, lost the puck in the neutral zone,
yes,
came back, got it right back again in the rush. And I'm like, oh, that is an intensity that I feel like this year maybe Rask didn't have all the time, 100% of the time, probably because, you know, with back issues, you're like, oh, you know, sometimes you seize up, sometimes you're like uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. Like, if 100%, there's a big difference in his assertiveness. And also because now he's like, I got to get in there and I got to make a difference. We've lost 13 in a row. Like, we're winning less than 13. Let's go. And the way he spoke in the morning skate, saying multiple times, this is the last game I'm missing this year. I didn't want to be sitting out the game in Boston, but the doctors, the trainers all said I should. We got to make sure that everything's good. But he's knocking on wood left and right. That's the last game I'm missing this year. Tuck, 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 tuck. That's, I'm like, this is a guy that wants it and wants to make a difference. Now, you know, yeah, it's one game, but we've been obviously down a lot of late. We got to be happy and enjoy what was on the ice and what was displayed in the one game.
Right, exactly. Why don't we give you a little bit of Lindy Ruff just on the heels of last night? Like, and I think you just kind of led perfectly into it. It's one game, right? But it's on the heels of a lot of games. Good for Lindy, Jeff.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Deck your home with Blinds.com. DIY or let us install. Free design consultation.
Free.
Plus free samples and free shipping.
Free.
Ho, ho, ho! Blinds.com invented a better way to buy custom high-quality window treatments with no showroom mock-ups or waiting around for quotes from pushy salespeople, saving you time and money for the holidays with upfront pricing right on our website.
Go right now to Blinds.com. Satisfaction guaranteed.
Satisfaction guaranteed.
Deck your home this holiday season with Blinds.com. Save up to 40% on select styles, plus a free professional measure. Blinds.com.
Blinds.com.
Rules and restrictions may apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Give her a whirl. Here's Lindy.
You guys, your group went through a lot over this last month. What's your reaction to see the way that they played and to get and finally get that result?
You know, I really think it started in Boston with the way we played. You know, we didn't find the back end of that in a couple situations there and played a heck of a game in our own end and, you know, limited opportunities. We're smart with the puck. I think we started off tonight same way. Our puck play was real good. Our defending was good. And I think when you go through something like this, you know, a journey that is awfully painful, when you come out of it, you should be a better team.
You get that first goal, that seems really set the tone and get everybody focused on this moment. Is that sometimes just all it takes to get the team going?
Well, you know, I think through the stretch, we've scored the first goal a lot of times. You know, some of our problem was we didn't finish games. So I think that we've learned now with puck management that, you know, the way to finish a game is just be a lot smarter team. And I even think we showed that tonight in the third period when they had a little bit of a push. And we had good sticks. You know, we deflected a lot of pucks. We blocked a lot of lanes. We denied a lot of plays in our own end.
Once you guys built that lead a little bit, did you just notice a difference on maybe just the body language and the way that the guys were just attacking the game and not sitting back?
Well, you know, I think we started the second period, you know, the same way. They had a little push to start with, and then I thought we found our game again. And once we found our game, I thought we got on our toes and tried to play on their end. I thought our puck movement going up ice was good. I think we left a couple plays out in the first period. We had two-and-ones again. You know, you mentioned rush chances this morning that we didn't get a shot on goal on. That, you know, we could have taken that game to 3 or 4-0 in the first period probably.
You mentioned denying chances. What can you say about the way?
All right, there's Lindy Ruff from last night, and that was actually one of the breakdowns that Pat Coletta had in the first intermission was the Thompson-Tuck 2-on-1, where yep. Pat talked about, look, your best players have a license for creativity, and you can't always assume that they're just going to shoot on that play. And at the end of the night, Tage gets a long-range empty netter with just under 10 minutes to go, which is amazing. Like, that yes. warms my heart as much as any hot toddy at this time of year, honestly. And, you know, long live the goalie pulls with 11 minutes left, because you must be doing something right to earn that opportunity.
Yes.
As you know, my reality is, my promise every year is, if this team gets close to 20 empty net goals, they're making the playoffs. Okay, mm-hmm. Well, it's been a little bit of a dry spell, and they're at 6. So if they can somehow get 14 of them in the back half of this season, the remaining 47 games, then we're talking. Then we're cooking, and I might still be wearing this hat in May. That's the goal, and obviously Thompson was able to score and break out of a, you know, a handful of games without a goal. But
according to the game sheet, Duffer, mm-hmm. how many feet was that goal from Tage Thompson yesterday?
I didn't look exactly. I would guess like 187. Or no, sorry, 185.
Okay, it was 172. So you got to figure it's 200 long. You got 10 feet behind both nets, so that's probably 180.
Yeah,
and then it was 8 feet from the goal line,
yeah.
So 172. So that's a long range. That is a long range empty netter. And I meant to ask the NHL stat, and maybe I'll do it after Christmas. What is the earliest empty net goal scored in the NHL, but also Sabres-wise? So I would suggest that this may be Sabres-wise.
Oh, it is Sabres-wise. Like this season?
No, like history of the Sabres.
Yeah, well, they might, yeah. I guess, yeah, they should be able to track that.
They should be able to figure it out because they labeled them as empty net goal, but also... Yeah. Is an empty net goal like a delayed penalty, like situation, whatever? But I don't remember it happening ever. So that was kind of funny. In the fact that, you know, Tage Thompson scored. Mm-hmm. I was actually, this is what I was doing. I was on my computer researching when Patrick Waugh started pulling his goalie early with Colorado mm-hmm. in the playoffs in 2011.
13, 14. That
yes.
was the year he won the
And I wanted to find the actual game when he did it, and everybody started to say, oh, we all have to do that now. And everybody's, and I was in the middle of like looking it up, and then I could hear Dan saying, Tage shoots it down the ice. I'm thinking, yeah, shoots it down the ice. He's in his zone. And then he scored, and I looked up. I was like, oh, I missed it. But you know what? That's fine because it was an empty netter. So it was good.
Funny you mention, the Islanders coach, because once again, a result like last night had me looking at his record as the Islanders coach, which is, it is what it is. I mean,
500,
you know, well, yeah, it's 549 if you include, like, if, you know, when you just stare at it the way the NHL system is. But again, like we spoke earlier in the year, an overtime and shootout loss is a loss, and he's got way more losses than wins. And it's just the thing for me is what everyone says is that nothing changes with the Islanders.
Nope.
And they have a lower points percentage since Waugh took over than they did with Lane Lambert before him. But Lane Lambert wasn't much different than the other incarnations of the Islanders, the pre-COVID, in COVID, out of COVID, like, they're always really close. They had a couple where they crested over 100 points and were a little bit better, but they kind of are what they are. And again,
would you take Matt Barzal?
Like, they made the playoffs 5 out of the last 6 years. Like, that's good. But they
But would you take Matt Barzal right now? Would you take him?
He had one outstanding rush shift in the first period where I turned to Coletta and he, Pat, said it before I could even utter it. He's like, that's McDavid-like speed. And I'm like, exactly. And why do we not see it more out of Matt Barzal? He is a game breaker. And I don't know whether it's
year
systematically,
two.
like it doesn't, their style doesn't allow for it. I don't know. I just don't know. I love the talent of Barzal. I totally love it. But I don't see it enough, and that's frustrating.
How did he get 80 points last year? 80 points on a team that plays the way that they play. And he had 23 goals. Now, he's only twice in his career gone over 20 goals. He's making $9.1 million in year two of an eight-year deal. Mm-hmm. But I feel, for me, if I was a team, again, because we've had that discussion with the Sabres, right? Like the Vultures are circling the Sabres, trying to get maybe some deal that they could get that would be beneficial to them and try to catch the Sabres in a panicking mode. But if I am one of those, you know, Vultures circling maybe the Islanders, trying to see what it would take to get Matt Barzal out of there, because I like his speed. I like his skill set. Not 100% sure on the hockey sense, which is, you know, important in the game, especially with him being the leader that he is. But the $9.1 million for six more years is very scary.
Yeah. Well, there are definitely a lot of contracts now in today's, you know, growing salary cap. And you say it with a hint of, ooh, that's a lot. I look at it and think, it's just kind of what business is nowadays. So I really don't, but
it doesn't scare me, but it just makes me think.
Of course, as it should. That's the thing. Like, we need thinkers, right? Like, we need to be thinking about this kind of stuff. And I don't know. It's been a strange last couple of days, last couple of games. And for me, as I'm sure many are feeling, the frustration is there's very little difference, I think, and the stats back it up, difference between Buffalo, Boston, and the New York Islanders.
Yeah.
But now the Sabres, because of these last couple of weeks, have created this gap that didn't exist 3 weeks ago, right? And so, but again, let me remind you, there's still 47 games left, right? And you don't have to get all 13 of them back in one shot. But are they capable of being an awful lot? Of course they are. That's what we saw for the first 2 months, right? Mm-hmm. They were there, and then they weren't there. That was for you, because that's
that
your
favorite. That was John Tortorella. You're there, but you're not there. Although they were there, Boston and New York Islanders, I made a point to look at block shots. And the reason that I made a point to look at block shots, because when the Sabres played Montreal and Patrick Laine was unloading one-timers after one-timers after one-timers, I'm like, get in front of it. Like, it's going to hurt, but get in front of it. And I looked, and the Sabres were 26 in the league in block shots. They averaged 14 a game. And I get that block shots are somebody up in the press box that's pushing a button when somebody blocks a shot, and it could, you know, you're the New York Islanders. You want to give all your team, your players, lots of block shots because you want that identity. Fine. But I looked at the last two games, and the Sabres were at 17 block shots halfway through the game yesterday against the New York Islanders. And the Islanders only had five, so it's not like, oh my God, that guy's giving block shots to everybody.
Correct.
But it makes a difference when you have Tuck and Samuelson get in the way, when you had Bo Byram take it inside the leg, when you had Malenstein making a couple blocks. Like, it makes a big difference. And I'm like, that's playing hard right there. Like, you don't have to score goals. You don't have to block a shot. That's it. Just block a shot and let's see where it goes.
And, you know, now you get into the holiday break, you enjoy the time with family, and you come out of it with no practice, of course, because that's the norm. You get a morning skate on Friday, and the Blackhawks are in. It's a national telecast, and of course, it'll be heard right here on WGR Sports Radio 550. And before we take our first time out here on this holiday edition of Sabres Live, we remind you to purchase your tickets for the Give 716 Holiday 50-50 raffle presented by Northtown Automotive. There is a guaranteed pot of $71,600 plus second chance prizing that includes autographed Sabres and Bills items. visit a seller in the arena or go to sabres.com/5050 to purchase yours before the start of the third period on Friday night. Back after this, tons of fun stuff, league stuff, and who knows what on Sabres Live.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, it's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. We all know sleepers can win you championships, but finding these guys takes time. That's where the Sleeper King comes in. Let me do all the research so you don't have to. Every week, I'm going to break down which sleepers you need to pick up off the waiver wire and which surprise deep sleepers could help you win the week. Every episode, just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.